Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode, my co-host, Ryan Catchings. And tonight, Valentine's Day, we're doing it very special. We brought the brother in here, very highly anticipated, the pastor himself, Pastor Brian Meadows is in here, and we talking relational witchcraft.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Get it.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated.
It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, my co-host, Ryan Catchings.
I can already tell, man. It's going to be a powerful one right here.
You need to watch, too.
I discovered porn when I was a child. My mom.
To get that white man's upset out of him. Pursue me, I ran.
It's the brother I want, don't care.
This is dope.
You need to have a threesome.
There you go. When you mix God in there.
It is time. It is time. It is time. I am very excited about this show. I haven't been this excited about a show in a very long time. Big shout out before we even start to everybody on here live. If you're watching the replay, this show is going to change your life. But if you in here tonight, it's something very special because it's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And instead of laying up with somebody you ain't got no business laying up with, you on here where Harley initiated.
Preach.
Working on yourself. So first off, let's give a big shout out and a hand clap to yourself right now.
Yeah.
For being here with us tonight. And Pastor,
what
man,
do?
You lit this thing up last time you came on the set.
Incredible.
We back. And I'm so appreciative. I'm so grateful that you guys would call me back, would invite me back, give me space, give me grace to talk, have a conversation. It's always dope being with you guys. Y'all are working, man. Y'all are the hardest working men in podcasting, man.
I believe
it. That's a fact.
Every time I look up, you guys are doing another phenomenal interview, you know, another phenomenal podcast. So congrats to you guys. Y'all are killing it.
I mean, in that last show, you actually said something. You said we got to bust a nut in our purpose.
No, I did not say that. No. Let's correct that. I did not say that.
I said that.
You said that.
That was my paraphrase to what
That's
you
said. That's how you wrapped it all up.
You know? Because we are fulfilled in our purpose.
Yeah.
All right? And we moving in it. We walking in it. It's steadfast. So, yes, we working.
100%.
You're right about that. We are absolutely working. And it's a blessing again. Thank you, everybody that's in here tonight. Let's get to this episode sponsor so we can get to this amazing episode we have tonight. And I think we got some announcements for the people too, right, Ryan?
Yeah, well, the first thing, guys, happy Valentine's Day. And of course, as a special, because we love y'all so much, we have reactivated the Love 20 discount code. So that's 20% off the Harley and Love dating cards. Now, this is the thing, guys. The dating cards is really, like, they're really going nuts.
They are.
Lana, can you put the overlay? Can you put some photos or something? Because
yeah.
I want to show the massive amount of initiates that have been copping these cards. I mean, oh, beautiful.
We got
Keep
so many
rolling.
People sending
Keep
them photos
rolling.
Every single day.
And the thing is, like I said, so the range and diversity of people that's copping these cards, and I don't even know if I told y'all this. I should have. We dropped the international shipping. It's duties paid. So we've been getting orders from Jamaica, South Africa,
wow.
Canada, Netherlands, Germany. I mean, it's really incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So look, I'm new to it. So go ahead and kind of get me up to speed for people that may be watching and they don't know nothing about the cards. Tell me what the cards are for. What are the cards?
Okay. So the cards, pretty much the cards are perfect for game night. That's ideally what it's for. So that's a couples game night. That's, you know, if you in a group, really any situation where you want to take the conversation to the next level.
Okay.
Yeah. So we packed this thing because most decks really got like 25 to 50 cards. We got 100 open. Ended questions.
Wow.
Yeah, everything. So, I mean, if you playing with your best friend, you might get to know some deep, dark secrets. Mm. You playing with a loved one, Valentine might pop off early, let's just say that.
and here's the thing. Most of these questions are questions you probably wouldn't even think about crafting on a regular, you know, in a regular conversation.
Yeah.
So it's very well thought out. It's very clever. It's very witty. And it's going to put the direction of conversation in a very special place.
I love it.
Can you do us a favor?
What's up?
Can you test this deck out?
Yeah. You talking about take it home?
Absolutely. That's 100%. For you. That's for you.
100%. Yeah.
And I'll write a review. I'll give a review.
I would love
want that.
Yeah, we need that.
We need that, baby. Pastor just got on the deck.
Exactly. Because you know, my people operating with a strong spiritual foundation, I think sometimes they can be a little scared.
Oh, 100%.
Of 100%. Fun. So, guys, this right here is... It's not a sex deck.
It's not a sex deck. It's not.
It is for deepening your conversations and level of intimacy with people you care about, friends or family.
And what's even better, y'all, is just for the month of love, for the month of connection, Love 20 promo code. We're gonna give you 20% off the deck. All right, so go ahead and get that now. We're going to put the link in the description as well as in the chat. So go ahead and get your deck so you can go ahead and deepen them connections, because we ain't doing nothing on the surface, and especially not this show. This show will not be on the surface. When Pastor hit me up and said, yo, here's what I want to talk about, I said, whoa, that was a hit.
It's going to be crazy.
Relational witchcraft, first of all. How did you even come up with this concept?
Yeah.
Because I've never heard those two words packaged together, relational witchcraft.
Well, first of all, it's something that more people deal with than you may think. More people are battling than you may think. Before we even get to relational witchcraft, you got to deal with relational warfare. Mm. I was thinking about this earlier when we were just talking about this particular game and just talking about Valentine's Day. So many people today are reminded of how dissatisfied they are, how frustrated they are, upset they are. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a scripture that says, give no place to the devil. And the word place there is the Greek word topos, is where we get the word typography. You know, usually when you look at topography, it's the shaping of land, right? The shaping of a territory. So when it says give no place to the devil, it says give no land to the devil. And one of the things we got to realize is that, especially when you deal with relationships, every place of dissatisfaction becomes land that the enemy can build on. Build insecurity, build doubt, build anxiety. So dissatisfaction is actually a very detrimental thing to our spiritual health. Finding how to be satisfied, how to be fulfilled, is a very significant weapon against temptation, against comparison, against competition, and of course against sin. And so starting off this conversation about relational witchcraft, you got to deal with relational warfare, because everybody's dealing with some type of relational warfare, contention. Wherever there is a relationship, the potential for a relationship, there's going to be warfare, right? Y'all know I'm a pastor, so I'm always bringing out the Bible. Matthew chapter 12 says, a house divided cannot stand. And so wherever there's unity, wherever there's solidarity, wherever there's camaraderie, wherever there's a level of partnership and covenant, the enemy is always trying to frustrate. Wherever there's unity, wherever there's partnership, collaboration, wherever there's purpose and destiny, the enemy is always trying to frustrate that. He's always trying to pull two people apart, two families or a family apart. He's always trying to bring a mind apart, you know. And so you can't deal with relational witchcraft, which deals with intimidation, control, and manipulation without dealing with warfare, right? Every single person in your life is a door, all right? Every single person in your life is a portal. Every single person in your life is a gate. Anything in them, when you enter a relationship, has the potential to enter into you. So if they're dealing with anxiety and you hook up with them, there's the potential for you to deal with anxiety. If they're dealing with depression, if they're dealing with low self-esteem, if they're dealing with perversion, promiscuity, if they a hoe, that type of behavior, that type of energy, those type of habits will at some point affect you. This is why the scripture says, be not deceived, all right? Bad company corrupts good character. You can be a phenomenal man. You can be a phenomenal woman. But if you hang around the wrong people, the wrong environment, at some point it will begin to affect you. So can't deal with witchcraft before you deal with warfare. And if you're going to deal with warfare, you got to check your circle. There may be open doors around you. There may be open gates around you. If you don't want lust to get in your life, you got to make sure none of your friends, nobody in your circle has an open door for that. Because if they got an open door for that, at some point, some way, it's going to enter your life. So we can't deal with relational witchcraft, which deals with the intimidation, the control, the manipulation, without first dealing with warfare. Hear me, relationships should be a place of peace, development, where we accomplish purpose and destiny. It should not be a place of drama, fighting, and contention. And anybody that would allow people to stay in their space, to remain in their space or their environment, and they continually release contention and drama and issues, usually it's people that like issues, right? Mm. So the first thing we got to do is we got to clear our circle, clean our circle, and make sure that there's nothing around us that could potentially infect us. So we got to start with relational warfare. But hear me, we're all fighting.
That's a fact.
We're all fighting.
Whether you're in a relationship or without 100%. A relationship.
100%. And because we're not just dealing with romantic relationships. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know it's Valentine's Day and we can talk about booze and bays, but when we talk about relational warfare, hear me, we're not just talking about booze and bays. We're talking about friends. We're talking about brothers, right? When Jesus was betrayed, he wasn't betrayed by a female. Right. He was betrayed by a brother. He was betrayed by somebody close. So this ain't got to be sexual. If it has purpose, if it has destiny, the enemy is after it and it's gonna.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Be warfare. You got to fight for anything good. Anything good, anything godly, anything that's going to push you towards your purpose, you're going to have to fight for. Good relationships, you're going to have to fight for. The great thing is that good relationships are worth fighting for.
And dissatisfaction is the weak spot. Dissatisfaction is where we can, you know, have the enemy come upon us. I was just talking to Ryan about this, man, because as an ambitious person, this is something that we can struggle with too. I was just telling Ryan, man, like, just we doing some amazing things.
Yeah, y'all are.
And I was just so dissatisfied with just the last, because my level or standard of what I want to give and how I want to serve the community, I'm like, man, we not where I want to be, man. We not. I was in such this place of dissatisfaction. I started to feel like a level of worry inside of me.
Yeah.
And I literally felt my peace just be so disrupted in my morning. And I told Ryan, I haven't felt like that in years. And the reality of it is, it was that dissatisfaction, that worry. I told him, man, that worry, when you start to worry, you're sick.
Yes, sir.
Like your mind is literally sick.
Yes,
because now you can't even see the blessing and opportunity in front of you.
100%.
Because my mind is so sick. But all of that worry, all of that anxiety was built on top of that dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about in relationships.
I'm telling you, it's about to be good. Hear me. Paul said this. Paul said, I've learned how to be a base and abound. All right. I've learned how to be content, but ambitious. I've learned how to like what I got, but still want more. See, if you want more, but you don't like what you have, that causes dissatisfaction, a lack of fulfillment. Before you ever want something more, you got to squeeze the life and the potential out of what you have. People are just addicted to new stuff. The moment it's a new face, a new booty, a new DM, they forget about the potential of what they have right now. Oh, but that's where the warfare is. That's where the fight is. Can you keep the revelation of that person through the seasons, through the vicissitudes of life, after time? Because the motivation going to wear off, right? The in love going to wear off. The infatuation going to wear off. You see them, you're in love, you're infatuated, you see all the potential, but at some point you're going to see something better. At some point you're going to have an issue or an argument, and your brain's going to start to wonder, and you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to go back to your why. You got to go back and remember why you made the commitment in the first place. Relationship is warfare, man. It really does take warfare. It takes a person that is willing to fight, and it takes focus, it takes energy. And I know a lot of people, relationships die not even because the relationship is bad, because people are tired. They're tired of fighting, they're tired of arguing. They're tired of having issues. They're tired of trying to figure out where they're going to get money or how they're going to pay their bills. They're just tired. And the enemy, hear me, one of the things that we got to realize about the enemy is that he's eternal, right? The same way God is a spirit, the enemy is a spirit. That means he ain't got muscles, ain't got flesh. Spirit don't get tired. You know what that means? He waits until you get tired. So when you say I do, that don't mean nothing to the devil. Like, I do don't mean nothing. He's sitting there saying, okay, cool, I do too.
We'll see how long it's going to last.
Let's see how long.
That's what he's thinking.
And he is a waiter. He is a master of time. He's been here from the beginning. So you being excited about a new relationship don't mean nothing. That's why when I see a new couple, I'm like, Lord, help them. I'm serious. Wow. When I see a new couple, a newlywed couple, or people that are newly engaged, I'm like, Lord, help them. And this is why I think that every married couple or every engaged couple, if you're serious about your relationship, you should invest in marriage counseling or relationship counseling. I really believe that, because it's not going to fail-proof your relationship or fail-proof your marriage. But the purpose of counseling is to give you the tools to deal with conflict. Because most people, we know how to be in love. We know how to date. We know how to have sex. We don't know how to deal with conflict. And if you're going to have a healthy relationship, you got to know how to deal with conflict. Conflict resolution, not just conflict resurrection. right? Women are phenomenal at conflict resurrection. It can be something that you did years ago and they can bring it back up. We have to be masters of conflict resolution. Hear me, it's a tool that is, it's an undeniable tool. It's an unforgettable tool. It is a necessity in every relationship that you know how to de-escalate conflict.
I like these tools. I think that makes the most sense.
100.
And because it's a preventative circle, right? Now, when I'm thinking about the relationships, this is also a circle. Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, depending on where you at, you can let things in, or you could not be putting out the right things amongst that circle. So if I'm looking at my circle of friends, my circle of loved ones, okay, and I'm trying to pick out any mighty mo, which of these people that I need to evaluate, potentially get rid of, what am I looking for?
First of all, see, this is why these cards are so important, because sometimes you don't even know the conversations you need to have. You follow me?
I get it.
Sometimes you have to ask invasive questions. Like, what are you struggling with? What are your issues? What have your family dealt with? Like, what are your proclivities? Are you addicted to something? Like, you got to ask some really hard questions. And hopefully, if the relationship is authentic, hopefully, if the relationship, has some level of validity and honesty and transparency, hopefully they wouldn't hide that. And hopefully that conversation would become the catalyst of a even deeper covenant and relationship and connection. But you're gonna have to ask some questions. You have to ask some hard questions. I don't know how you can have a relationship without asking hard questions. The relationship should begin with asking hard questions. That becomes the foundation for the relationship, which is friendship. All right. See, most people skip that stage of building the relationship. Building a relationship is just like building a house, right? A house has a foundation. In order to build that foundation, you're going to have to dig some stuff up. You don't just lay a foundation on top of dirt. You got to first dig. And so the friendship stage is a digging stage. It's an information stage. It's a conversation stage. I'm getting all the information. So I know what you struggle with. I know what's in your blood. I know your habits. I know your issues and your proclivities. I found this out before I touched you. The problem is, and we're almost there, we're almost in relational witchcraft. The problem is we find out too much stuff after we've touched them. By this time, we're invested. We're in love or in lust, and it's harder for us to break away now that we've already laid down. Now we've already gave them the goods, and now we find out they're a freak, or we find out they're crazy, or we find out they're in debt, or we find out they're illiterate.
Right.
Right? We find out something, but by this time, we're in love. And whenever you're in love, you start to overlook issues. You start to overlook red flags. Whenever you're in love, you start to overlook flaws and overlook failures. As a matter of fact, when a person is in love, it changes their perspective. Like, literally, it changes how they see. Bruh could be ugly. Female could be busted. But if you're in love, you like, I love that little gap in the middle of their teeth. I love that. You just start loving.
Or in lust.
You're really intoxicated.
100%. You're intoxicated. And that kind of, we're almost there. But when you're dealing with relational witchcraft, think about a witch. Think about a witch. In order for a witch to snatch or steal the consciousness of their victims, they use what they call potions. Potions, all right? Now, we still use potions today, but in a few ways. Like, we don't mix, like, an eye of a newt, the toe of a dead man, right. The saliva of an alligator. No, we don't do that. We do a little bit of Hennessy. I'm almost there, bro. I'm telling you. Just a little bit of Hennessy. Mm-hmm. Put a little bit of this, put a little bit of that.
A little hit of
that. And we know that it's going to skew their consciousness and put them in a state where we can take advantage of them.
Ooh.
Which, I'm telling you. And there are people that do this on purpose. There are people that got their potion together. hey, give me a Grey Goose with the cranberry and put a little extra little shot of this. Oh, they already know. And they know it's gonna get her right exactly.
What about the music? What about the music,
Pastor? Oh, music is music is where all of that is mixed together. And that's why I say a potion isn't just a drink. A potion could be a conversation. A little bit of flattery, a little bit of lie, a little bit of the truth.
Oh, man.
And it's just a mixture, a mixed drink of lies, deceit, a mixed drink. Whether it's a real drink or a conversation, they're mixing a drink so that a person loses their sense of sobriety. And this is how you know you're dealing with a witch, because they can only work with you when you're not sober.
Ooh.
That's why when he hit you, I'd be like, hey, you smoke?
Yeah. You smoke. Hey,
you drink? You smoke?
Yeah.
What you do?
Yeah.
I want to find your issue, because the issue becomes an open door for the enemy.
That's so incredible because I've actually been one of them. I guess I don't know what's a male version of a witch. Yeah.
You a witch?
Because it's not just the intoxicants, right?
Right.
It's also, like you said, the conversation, the places, you know, you go to, kind of how you tee things
off. It's all hypnotic.
All hypnotic. 100%. The mood that you set. And you even go about it, because the thing is, your potion, that's a part of your brand and your masculinity. Because mm-hmm. I might go to Tyshawn and be like, yo, this is my potion. It's not working. He like,
Do
a little bit of this. Do a little bit of that. Go out and try it. Now my potion is, and depending on how much you build it up.
I'm telling you.
How many of the OGs, so to speak, you know, your potion or elixir could be.
And I want to add to this too, because you brought up such a beautiful point of having to dig deep in that foundation.
Yes, sir.
To be able to build up on it. And I'm going to add to it, because to my brothers who know how to put them potions together, it's a reason we don't dig deep, because we had no plan on building a foundation anyway. We want a tent right on top of that dirt, and actually digging deep and asking those questions will disrupt everything we trying to create right inside that tent. I have no intentions to build with you.
I want you to
get nice and lick it up or whatever the case is on my potion, mm-hmm. and I want to get what I want, and I don't want it disrupted.
Come on
with
now.
Your sobriety.
Because hear me. I want to put the cement. I want to put the foundation on top of the dirt, because then I can use your trauma as an excuse and foundation to control you. See, when you always hurt, when it was always the last man, when they did this to you, when they did that to you, I'm always the savior. Yeah. I'm always the hero. I don't want you to get healed, because the moment you get healed, you don't need me. You're sober. You're going to see right through me. So they don't want to dig up that foundation. A real man or a real woman, a real friend, wants you to dig up that foundation. They want you to dig up that trauma, the hurt. They want you to dig up the past, because they don't want to be friends with a broken person. Hear me. That is a heavy weight. That is a heavy load. That is hard to carry, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a sibling, or whether it's a parent. There are people watching that they're carrying their parents. Their parents don't have jobs. Their parents are addicts. Their parents are broken, divorced, whatever the case may be. And they're having to deal with the weight of that. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all those that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not your job to carry somebody. And people will literally make you feel bad when you don't carry them. People will make you feel bad. If you want to leave and get your life together, they will make you feel bad because you're leaving them because they never changed. Mm. It's not your job to carry anybody, though.
Whew, man, this is so heavy already. We got to already let this breathe. And y'all, first of all, y'all better go ahead and hit the like button on this video, because we need to spread this to everybody that might be wandering on Valentine's Day, might be ready to send that quick little text, get their potion cooked up, and have somebody around them they ain't got no business having. So go ahead and click that like button so they could be here with us.
You already know, because it's some players. Tomorrow, that's when the players start. They're going to come. They're going to listen. You know what? I thought about you yesterday. I didn't know if you had a Valentine's or not.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to stop by and bring you some flowers.
if they did not hit you up today, do not let them hit you up tomorrow.
Ooh.
Right? Because if they didn't hit you up today, you're not the main one.
Another one.
That's a fact.
If they did not hit you up today, you're not the main one.
Nah. Matter of fact, you just got broke up with. That's what y'all need to
know. That's crazy.
So, right. Shout out to all the new members joining the Initiate family. And shout out to my girl, BJ. That's Benita Jackson. She says, happy Valentine's Day, Ryan and Tyshawn. And to family and friends, if you do not have a Valentine this year, hold on. He or she is coming. All good things are worth waiting for. VJ, I absolutely agree with that.
Listen, y'all, my Valentine this year. Join our initiation. Initiates, go ahead. We got this membership here for y'all. And this is the family we need right here, because we in here growing and showing out together. We're Pastor here tonight. In fact, guys, by the way, if y'all want to go ahead and send the super chats in, we're going to go ahead and read them 10 over so we can go ahead and get your comments and thoughts in the conversation.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to, before we get back to it?
Well, I got one more. Shout out to Anissa Johnson. She says, my sister had a friend that she was close with, but for some reason she was not feeling herself. She was not feeling herself. Turns out the friend was literally a witch that casted spells on her to act a certain way. She cut that witch off for good. Insane.
Right, perfect transition into this witchcraft, because you starting to break down on a ground level what it looks like, because mm-hmm. again, a lot of people, we have a distorted version of what we think witchcraft is.
100, yeah.
Because a lot of us don't understand how we really see witchcraft on a regular daily basis.
Always, yeah.
And some of us, we might talk about witchcraft and be witches ourselves.
100%.
So you broke down this potion. that a lot of us can see familiarity in. But what are some other ways that many of us partake in this relational witchcraft?
Okay, so let's go ahead and define what witchcraft is, all right? Witchcraft is control, manipulation, or intimidation. The scripture says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, meaning that whenever you go against God's law, whenever you go against God's word, you're saying that I want to make it happen myself. Whenever you take upon yourself, or whenever you take it upon yourself, the responsibility of accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish, I'm talking about in your own strength, your own way, outside of God's will or outside of God's word, the scripture calls that witchcraft. But what we're talking about is control, manipulation, and intimidation. It is your desire to make another person do or be something you want them to do or be without God's input or intervention. So like, say you get with somebody and hear me, it happens so frequently and it happens, it's so familiar, people don't even know it. Say you get with a man, right? A woman gets with a man and she wants the man to even be a Christian. The man ain't in church and she wants the man to be a Christian. So she starts praying certain prayers like, Lord, make him go to church. Make him like God. Make him like the word. Make him. You can't make him do that. No. Bruh.
Wait, is that not a good prayer?
No, that's not a good prayer.
Is that witchcraft?
That's witchcraft.
Oh, wow. My God.
That's not a good prayer. Now, if you want to pray for a soul, you could do that. But you trying to make him do something for your benefit?
Right.
Because you want to be with him? I want him to be saved so I can be. No, you should want him to be saved so that he can know God. And guess what? That may include him not being with you.
Wow.
And if you really want what God wants for his life, then you will be willing to break up, live holy, do whatever you need to do so that he can be close with God. But if you're doing it so that they can be close with you or for your own benefit, for your own purpose, bro, that's witchcraft. Because you don't really care nothing about them. You just want them with you at any means necessary. So 100%, that's witchcraft. Look, I want him to be this and I want him to be that. Father, I want him. You need to accept him the way he is. That's number one. And then y'all can work together as friends. Friends sharpen friends the same way iron sharpens iron. Then y'all can work together to grow together. But there is no guarantee that he's going to grow into the version of whoever you want him to be. So you can't stick with him just to see him become what you want him to be. And there's a lot of people that do that. And literally their entire life, their entire relationship is bent on them making this man or making this woman. Because a lot of times it's true on the other end too.
People trying to change people.
100%. A man to get with a woman, the woman is conservative. She ain't no freak. She don't want to do all that stuff.
Slayer.
Right? Like she don't mind being walked into it in a monogamous, covenant, God-fearing relationship. But what she don't want you to do is liquor her up and talk her into stuff that she's going to regret later. And people do it all the time. That's witchcraft.
Wow. You trying to turn a conservative girl into a freak.
And, I've seen those relationships. And it's so much contention. I mean, they're pissed at each other.
100%.
Constantly. Or really it's the guy or depending on the situation. But
so do y'all remember, and so we got to deal with some ancient archetypes. Do y'all remember like seeing movies growing up where the witch would turn somebody into
a frog,
a cake, or a cat or a frog or something like that? That's an archetype. That's a symbol. That I have control over what you become.
Wow.
That's witchcraft. I can manipulate you through flattery, through words, through deceit, through lies, through curses or spells, and I can make you act different than you normally act.
It's like when she, oh my God. You know a good example?
What?
You know, the woman, she kisses the frog and he turns into the handsome prince.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she turned his frog into a handsome prince. All because of her affection, her kiss, 100%. Her intimacy, turned this frog, who really is just a frog,
right,
into a handsome prince.
And now you got women thinking that through their intimacy, through their sex, through their got game.
Slayer.
Oh my God. Hey, y'all know it was gonna go down like this tonight?
That baffles me too. That I think that's very like that's still a real thing. I think that people in general think that sex
100
is more than enough. To change the way somebody thinks, change the way somebody acts, change their willingness to commit to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%. That's why people be like, hey, well, let me give it to him early. Let me give it to him quick. Because if I give it to them quick, it's going to lock them down. It's going to shut them down. It's going to keep them here. And men think the same way. There's men and women. That's what I'm saying. Witchcraft is not a male or female thing. And a lot of times, it's usually passed down parentally. Like, you're seeing it in the home. You're seeing mom manipulate daddy. You're seeing dad manipulate mom. You're seeing dad and mom manipulate children. And you're seeing children manipulate parents. You're growing up in an environment where everybody's using their emotional. See, this is what you got to understand. When you're dealing with witchcraft, people can use different things to lure you, seduce you, or just put a spell on you. Some people use physical, like their physical body or physical things. Some people use intellect or conversation. They're great at talking. And if you just let them keep talking, ooh, they will talk you out of your drawers.
So now you're describing, okay, because this was just actually in the chat. Anna Dominique just posted this, one of our initiates. She says seduction is witchcraft. Now, is that 100%. True?
Yes. Well, I mean, let me say it like this. Well, number one, if it's sex or if it's sexual interaction outside of a covenant relationship, we got to already kind of wonder what the agenda is.
Okay.
Right? We got to wonder what the agenda is. So seduction outside of marriage, you got to wonder, okay, what is their agenda? What do they want from mm-hmm. me? Why do they want it from me? And why are they going to these lengths to get it from you? So 100%. So yeah. Seduction outside of marriage, I think is dangerous. And I think you really have to begin to like see what the person's agenda is, what their motive is, and what's in their heart. Seduction inside of marriage is a love language. Yeah. Like, you need to be seductive inside of a marriage. You need to constantly utilize flattery, foreplay. You need to constantly utilize those types of things to make sure that you sustain the level of intimacy and fire. So right. Seduction within a marriage, as long as you're seducing your partner. Now, again, bro, it all starts with the intent of a person's heart. Because if I'm seducing you because it's Valentine's Day and we want to have a phenomenal night, that's one thing. But if I'm seducing you because I asked you if I could get a TV or a purse and you said no, and now I'm using my body to start to influence you, then even in a marriage, seduction would still be illegal then.
You know what? And this, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the pickup artist. Because when I think about a witch, and when we talk about witchcraft, they already have the intention of what they want something to become, and they reverse engineer whatever the potion 100%. Or the spells need to be to create this outcome.
And it's solely self-serving.
And it's solely self-serving. Yes, sir. It's there to take. So the thing about it is, it's like when you consider that, that's what makes you a witch. It's your intention of what you want to happen. So for example, these pickup artists, they can teach guys all of these strategies that are all psychologically based.
One, I get you.
That can create outcomes to manufacture connections
right.
and essentially create the outcome of sex.
Did you hear this one? So I heard somebody say this particular kind of game that they play. So they'll see a fine female, maybe that they work with, or somebody that they see frequently, and they'll constantly call that female the wrong name.
You saw that.
So they'll be like, hey, Brittany, until the female says, hey, that's not my name. It's like, oh, well, you remind me of somebody I used to date. And so, like, it's a whole game. And my thing is, hear me, there is game. There's a level of chivalry. There's a level of law that governs our interaction with the opposite sex.
Yes.
If we want to be successful, that's good. That's all within fair play. Mm-hmm. But when I have evil intent, when I have impure intent, that takes it to another level. You following me? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's going to be a level of game. But my thing is, if you're playing game at the beginning and you're not showing who you really are, you're going to have to keep the game up. At some point, you're going to let the game guard down, right?
Right.
And she's going to see who you really are. And you want her to like who you really are. So, you know, I mean, my thing is, yeah, you need to have a strategy, but playing a game where you're not necessarily who you really are and you're talking different or you're acting different, I think that that's a bit corny.
But now what if the person doesn't know? Because I'm sure it's, you know, some ladies out there, men alike, and they don't know that what they're doing is detrimental. Because they could have grown up thinking, hey, this is how it should work. This is how guys are. This is how ladies are. This is how you get what you want, so to speak. So can there be some level of innocence behind it?
100%. 100%. That's why within witchcraft, you have what they call black witches and white witches. You ever heard of black magic and white magic?
Yeah.
So you got black magic. That's usually magic with an evil intent. But then you also have white magic. That's usually magic with a pure intent or a good intent, whether it's carrying around a rabbit's foot, whether it's doing a potion. Did y'all know Tom Brady's wife is a witch?
Whoa.
Yeah. Tom Brady talks about it. That's how he won all his Super Bowls. Literally.
No.
Tom Brady's wife is a witch. He talks about it.
Wow.
Hold on.
Wow.
Yes. Literally. She do stuff with rocks. She do like little ceremonies. Like she released like words. She'll say this season you're going to do great or this season you're not going to do great. Go look it up. It's on YouTube. He talks about it.
Damn, he ain't win the ring when they divorced that last season.
Well, because affirmations too, like all that is some level of spells.
But the same way you have prayer. Now remember, you can pray protection. I can pray that God protects you. I can't pray that you do something. Do you see the difference? Mm. It's a nuance, but there's a difference. I can pray.
So a lot of us are praying wrong?
100%. Because we're praying that God does something either to the person or we're praying that person does something. We're not necessarily praying that God does something. Like we're praying that, Lord, change them. They need to do this. They need to do this. They need to do that. So, yeah, it can definitely become very detrimental. It can become very witchcrafty, very controlling. And utilizing spirituality to control a person is witchcraft.
That is so incredible. And I'm going to be honest, man. This is, first of all, Pastor, this is an edgy message altogether.
Oh, man, for real.
Shout out to you for really going into this, because I think this is an incredibly important conversation, because one thing that happens is, again, a lot of us just in day-to-day life, we can get a distorted lens to what things mean. Because the way you're shaping my mind to understand what witchcraft is, you teaching me so much right now. And I want to stay on the topic of prayer.
No, yeah. You're 100%. Because one of the things I wanted to say is that, man, it's so, you don't, like, when you break up, say you've been in a relationship, it was great, it was successful, y'all had a phenomenal time, but y'all break up. And they don't want to see you with somebody else, right? They don't want to, because hear me, all prayer begins with a burden. We call it a burden. Sometimes it may be called a desire, right? Prayer without a desire is passionless. Passion pushes your prayer through. If it ain't something you want, it ain't going to reach God's ears. It's got to be something you really want. Man. So imagine you break up with somebody and you're distraught, you're depressed, you're hurt, and you're saying, Lord, I don't want them to find somebody else.
Wow, that's witchcraft.
Man, I pray that the next girl see him for who he really is. Like, I'm telling you, bro. And you wondering, dang, why are all my relationships frustrating? Like why are all my relationships kind of contentious? Why has it been hard for me to find a new person? You don't know. You got a demonic intercessor praying against your success. You got somebody literally putting energy into the atmosphere, into the universe, that you will not succeed in relationships.
First of all, let me tell you why that has to make sense. If it is true that we can pray and put good energy into the world,
For sure.
It has to be true that the opposite is also true.
Yes, sir.
That if we also back that hate, that evil with passion,
jealousy,
with energy, that it also is an energy into the world. And how many of us do that? And we don't count that as witchcraft. We don't count the hate, the negative thoughts, all the things that we say about people, even if it's just deep.
Literally.
And that could be filled with
passion.
What
Jesus said. Jesus said, if you think on a woman with lust, you've already done it in your heart. But then Jesus also said, if you think about being angry at somebody, you've already murdered them. So when you're sitting around saying, I can't stand it, bro, I can't stand it, you're sending negative energy. You're literally praying for their downfall. Mm. All right. Have you ever heard of the term the witching hour?
I have heard of that.
You heard of that term?
Yeah, I have.
Hear me. Because witches have a hour. Witches have a specific time where they pray against the prayers of the saints.
Wow.
We're witches. Because according to the book of Revelation, they say that our prayers, they ascend like incense or like smoke. So when we pray, imagine energy going up to God's ears. And we're not, the spiritual world is directionless. We ain't got time to get into that. So don't think just up and down, but just think that it moves beyond our atmosphere.
Right.
So what witches do during the witching hour, during the hours of 3 to 4, that's why 3 to 4 is always freak hour. It's always demon time. It's always,
I'm telling you,
because that's when witches are praying against your demise, praying against your holiness and your consecration, praying against your purpose and your destiny. That's when they're doing it between the hours of 3 and 4. That's why a lot of intercessors, people that have the Holy Spirit and they're intercessors, like godly intercessors, they really feel a burden to wake up during the hours of 3 to 4 because they're combating the prayers of these witches. But 100%, the witching hour is literally a time where witches get up and pray against good people. I'm talking about pray against, release curses, release spells against nations, against cities, against legislation, anything that would push the agenda of God, the kingdom of God forward. They literally pray against it.
But you know, Pastor, you know what I'm really getting from this message, though? I don't even think, because I'm not saying that it's not a lot of these witches out here, because I'm sure it is.
Right.
But what I think is really scary to me is that we don't realize that we all possess this power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we are all these eternal beings in this timed world with this spiritual power in us to put good energy into this world, to cast spells and curses 100%. On people. And the people in this very chat who would consider themselves great people might be some of the biggest spell casters, curse casters.
Y'all want to talk?
Yeah.
Y'all want to talk?
I mean, that's just really what it is.
So one of the, okay, so. This is what you got to always remember about words. Words carry weight, all right? There are many voices in the world. None are without signification. The word signification means weight or influence. Every single word has a certain decibel, has a certain vibration. It has a certain weight. You're going to feel it based on the frequency that it speaks on or the level that it speaks on, all right? So every voice, every word has weight. But many times a word doesn't have effect if the person's heart or mind is not open. Think about it. If you say something to me, but I don't know you, it ain't going to affect me.
Bother.
My heart isn't open. My mind isn't open. I don't know you. I don't trust you. Right? But if my heart is open, if my mind is open, this is why a detrimental or a disciplined word, a hard word, a harsh word from an authority always carries more weight. Like when your mother yells at you, your father yells at you. Sometimes it's traumatic for children because they never forget that. It was somebody that they held in high esteem that said, you're stupid, you're dumb. Now hear me, that's a curse. Because it constricts the person's mind to think beyond that experience. They can't see themselves not being dumb because you told them, as their father, as their mother, you are dumb. Now every time they make a mistake, you know what's reverberating in their mind? You're dumb. You made this decision because you're dumb. We all make mistakes.
Exactly.
Right? The mistake could just be because I lacked wisdom. But because they said that to me and because my heart or mind was open, now that word has become a hook. That's what we call a spell. And now every time I do something, I'm a bit hesitant. I have just a little bit of trepidation because that word is always there. All right? So, yeah, I mean, words don't really have power unless the heart and the mind is open. And what is the greatest way to open the heart and the mind? Sex.
Damn.
Sex. Wow. So spells become easy to cast during intercourse.
Wow.
Because number one.
That's when you
wow.
Hear me, man. I feel
that
like preaching.
Sense.
Number
Hold
one.
On, go ahead.
Hear me. Number one, the mind is open. The heart is open. Mm-hmm. The energy is high. The effort, perspiration. Not only is your soul open, your pores are open. Like everything
the
is
open. The vagina's open.
Yeah. Jeez. And this, I mean,
that's a portal too.
You're right.
It's one of the most powerful portals.
It's right. You're right.
Everything open.
Everything. Everything is open. All right. But you're also, not only is everything open, you're also close. Not just physically, but spiritually. All right. You are very close. There is a chemical reaction that's happening when two people are coming together. So you're close spiritually, but hear me, you're also close physically. You can whisper in their ear. You ain't got to yell. You can whisper in their ear. Their heart is open. Their mind is open. Everything is open. And now you're right there by their ear. And all you got to do is say, it's mine. And hear me. The scripture says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So when he says, it's mine, it ain't his until you say, it's yours. And the moment you say that,
it's a covenant.
It's a covenant.
Oh, my God.
A connection.
God.
Wow.
And that's a lot of that being said.
That's a spell. God. That's a spell. You ain't even married to him, but it's his. Now you get with another guy. Now you get with another guy. You done moved on.
And
you ain't broke that spell, though. You ain't broke that spell, though. So even though you done went on and you dating somebody else, you see that guy in the mall and your vagina quiver just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. People will get up. People will get up from that experience. Establishing that covenant and think nothing about
nothing
it.
Nothing of
that.
It. It's but just wonder, sex. Why can't I stop thinking about them? Like, why are they in my mind? Why are they in my dreams? God. Like, why do I think about it? And I get wet when I think about them. I get like already spell.
Ladies, how many? Look, if you got a current covenant, you know you ain't broke. I just need you to put a meet in the chat right now. I want to see how many people have signed these covenants. And you know another thing that you talked about last time that's very relevant now.
What?
Because a very relevant part that you didn't include that happens in all of that same interaction are those sacred liquids.
Yes, sir.
That you talked about.
Yes,
those
sir.
Are also fusing together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The saliva is mixing.
100%.
The juices are mixing.
You're talking about a potion.
The sweat is mixing. And all of this is mixing. And we in that sacred place of hers.
100%.
And I never thought that what I say right there at that point is most powerful.
Bro, look at the activity. Number one, you done already set up the environment.
Yeah.
That's why when you look at a witch's coven, what they got? They got candles. They got books. They got smell good incense. So you done set up the same thing. You done set up the atmosphere. You got your potion. Hey, go ahead and drink this. Now they got this this honey. Have you heard about the honey?
Oh, the honey.
Oh, my God.
The honey? They making
it. Just so y'all know, they hit us up to advertise the honey, and we turned it down.
They did.
We not pushing that potion to the family, all right? We not
honey,
pushing no honey packs to y'all.
That honey taking them to erectile dysfunction. That's what's
serious?
Happening.
What yeah. you say?
No, it's, so what the honey pack does is it goes into your body as a man, and it energizes you in a way where it's really a sugar rush that helps your blood pump and eventually goes to your erection. So
gotcha.
It helps men get a harder and a more long-lasting erection is what it does.
Yeah, gotcha. But it's not natural. This is not natural stuff. That's,
not
that's
it's
in,
not that. So they're putting something in the honey.
Yeah, I mean, you ever looked at the ingredients on that?
No.
Yeah.
I never used it.
Okay, good.
It's a sugar rush. Yeah. It's a sugar rush.
Gotcha.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah,
it's
it
more than that. But yeah, and you know, it can have long-term effects. I mean, anything that you, I mean, just like if you only, you know, get drunk before you have sex. It's like these things 100. That you do that's not natural, they have long-term effects on your body's chemistry and how things go down.
That's crazy. No, I had no idea that it had, like, side effects. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. No, I would stay away from that stuff in general, but it's very popular now because they got the – have you seen that? The sex pack is like the – it's like the honey and like the condom. Have y'all seen that?
I haven't seen that.
It's like a sex pack that you can buy from
the
gas
station. I can imagine, but, you know, that's all very relevant to what you're communicating because I could see how all of these things you talked about, because you just broke down one of our most vulnerable points, going back to us as a child hearing someone who is an authority figure cast a spell on us that can last all through our adulthood.
100%.
Some of us go to the grave never breaking those spells.
Yeah.
And also another vulnerable moment is during sex.
100%.
So now we got all of these, you know, men and women who have these covenants
mm-hmm.
that we have on us, and we move around and we operating in this world.
Yeah.
Is it possible for me to have all this spiritual baggage that I'm holding on and move into another relationship and have success without dealing with that? Is that possible?
No, I mean, it just depends on who you're in a relationship with. You know, there are some people that are very long-suffering. They're very patient. They're very kind. They're very gentle. And they can deal with a lot. But just because they can doesn't mean they should. You follow me? So just because they are dealing with a person that may have had multiple partners, still dealing with soul ties, they're still attracted to their ex, still talking to their ex in DMs, and they're still going back and forth, they could deal with that. But why would you deal with that when there's somebody out there that will give you all the attention that you need, all the affection that you need, all the loyalty and faithfulness that you need? So could it work? Can it survive? Sure, but it's not going to be as healthy as God wants it to be, or that it could be. You know what I mean? So, I'm just thinking, like, imagine you having these covenants, having these soul ties, having these curses, and then you move into a relationship. Think about this. You with a brand new girl, and you're wondering, why does it seem like other men still control her?
Mm. Oh, man.
Yes.
I'm with her, but the moment he called, she got to go into the other room. She got to take the phone call. She with me, but we out to eat. And now she on her phone. Like, what you doing? You can't put it down for a second. Every time he say something, mm-hmm. you got to respond. Hear me. Bro, got a hook in her.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's not, she's not necessarily entertaining. Well, she's still entertaining. Even if it's, hey, you know, she's trying to get rid of that person, or mm-hmm. it's conflict, whatever it is, it's still a level of influence that's 100. Happening to her mood,
that's
her
the
energy,
word, influence.
Everything. Exactly.
And he know he can do anything. He can post something and it's going to change her mood.
It can make
Hear
her
me.
Upset.
You
it
know
can
what I mean?
Do anything.
You dating a female and you wondering, why she get mad all of a sudden? She was scrolling and she saw somebody she used to talk to with somebody else, and they got she got upset, or she saw a friend, one of her girlfriends, get some roses, and you ain't gave her no roses, yep. and she gets upset. Those are hooks. Those are spells. Those are incantations. Anything that will alter your state of sobriety or your consciousness, those are spells. And you should be free. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. You should be able to walk up to somebody without any attachments to your past, to your previous life, or to any previous partner that you've been with. You should be able to talk to her straight. No mask, no filter, no games, just straight. Hey, I like you. You're beautiful. How you doing? And it's you. It's just you. Mm. That's freedom. That's yeah. freedom. Now you ain't got to wait for a particular season to take off a mask, to show her who you really are, to have a come to Jesus moment. No, I was true. I was me from the moment I met you. And I never tried to cast a spell. I never tried to influence you. I just asked you a question. You dating anybody? It wasn't nothing sneaky about it.
And see, all of us know, man, the men know, because we don't call these things witchcraft or whatever the case is, but you just know when you have your hook in a woman.
100. Mm-hmm.
Because it's literally a woman you don't have to invest in. You don't have to maintenance her. You don't have to pour in her. But when you hit her up, whatever it is you want, you can literally. Get it
yep.
at any point in time. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you got your hook in.
100%.
And let's keep going into the... I mean, because you broke down a couple things. You broke down the potions.
Every witch has a wand. I remember Harry Potter.
Yeah. I do.
So that wand represents the male witch's appendage.
No, you took it there.
Oh, my God.
I can never watch Harry Potter again.
Most men, they're casting spells with their wand.
You damn right. That's
what they do. They're casting spells.
Dickmatized. There you exactly. have it.
Exactly. Pa-pa-da-pa-pa! Yep. Alakazam!
And I think people think that the dickmatized meaning has to be good. No, it just has to be at the right time, available, they in the right mindset.
A new experience, something that you ain't never had, something that you ain't never did. You ain't never had nobody do this to you, mm-hmm. and they know that. And they'll ask, so you ever did this, you ever did that? And the thing that you've never done, they want to do that because they hear me. Because a new experience creates a new memory. You'll mm-hmm. never forget me.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
And witches never want to be forgotten. Hear me, their power and their influence is gained and sustained by them having a place in your mind.
Wow.
You know what's crazy? It's because that's actually deep game, because some of the pickup artists, like the ones that go dark, they teach that. Like, they teach that it's specific places that you want to try to have sex, because it's not likely that she would have had that experience before. So if you can show her this level of uniqueness, now you're branded as the guy that it can go down with anywhere with.
He showed me this.
Yeah.
He took me there.
I'm even thinking back. I got really, really good at sales. Mm. I remember one of my favorite books by Wolf of Wall Street. My man. Jordan Belfort wrote a book. And literally, at the beginning of the book, it's a disclaimer. Mm. He said, please be careful with what you're about to learn in this book, because you can use this for good or for evil.
Yeah, 100%.
Because he went to prison for years for what he understood, because he understood the effects of the game and the laws socially of what he understood. He used it for evil. And he built an entire empire on top of that. And, you know, all of that is in the same family of manipulation.
Yes.
Essentially, yes. is what it is and what it goes back to. And I think there's a very thin line between manipulation and influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm thinking about my little brother, I want to have influence over him.
Right.
I want to make sure I'm guiding him and I have authority over him to be able to make sure I can have him go a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right when I wanted to, because I have more wisdom than he does right now.
I got you, yeah.
But it's the biggest difference from what I'm hearing and what you explaining is the biggest difference between that manipulation and influence is the intention.
Is the intention and where you're leading them. 100%. Mm. Is the intention and where you're leading them. And of course, the how is important too. Because if you're leading them to a godly place or a good place, a purposeful place, you're not going to be demeaning. You're not going to be condescending. You're not going to be controlling. You're not going to be abusive. You're not going to utilize your volume or your language to hurt a person or to control a person or to just make a person feel bad. You know what I mean? When a person feels bad, they are more susceptible. They are more controllable. So a lot of people will talk down to you so you feel bad, right? They'll point out certain personal features or, you know, physical features that make you insecure, because that puts you in a place where now my words work or my authority works. So 100%, as long as you're leading them to the right place and you have the right intent and you're trying to do it the best way you know how, then it's good. It's influence. But if you're trying to do it in the worst way that you know how to get them to a place, like you said, that's self-serving, it's witchcraft. It's witchcraft.
Man,
I like that. I just think it's dope that you brought the spirituality to the manipulation.
Oh yeah,
because
I think a lot
of people, because we know what's going on, but it sometimes can be hard to identify it or hard to come up with the solutions of kind of how to stave it away.
Yeah.
But if you think about it from a spiritual context, it really takes it to a deeper level, and it makes you a little bit more cognizant and more purposeful when it comes to staying away and keeping away from those things.
Yeah, it should just make you more aware to be honest and to be transparent and to be forthright and to be integral and to have character. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should make you more aware to come without any pretense, to be spiritual, to make sure that you are honest. Like, and I think it's good because there's a scripture that says deep calleth unto deep, but it really means spirits attract each other. So you're going to attract somebody that's like you, or at least somebody that kind of vibes with you. And so the moment you make a decision that, hey, I don't want to do that, you change the trajectory of the people you attract, right? A manipulative female usually ends up with a pimpish person.
So in this case, the victim attracts the abuser.
Or because the abuser is discerning, or because the abuser is wise in knowing who to pick, they always pick a particular person with a particular temperament or particular like personality. Somebody that may be a little bit shy, somebody that's malleable, shapeable, somebody that may be a little bit, they have trauma. That's why I said they don't want to undo that foundation. They don't want you to be healed because the trauma becomes the catalyst for their control. Mm. Yeah. Like if you hurt, if you're broken, if I can trigger you, I can always push you. Like, think about like a sheep being herded, or like a herd of sheep kind of being herded, right? All they have to do, like they herd a sheep by a dog. The dog just barks. And when the dog barks, sheep move. Men do the same thing. Women do the same thing too. So it's not just men, it's men and women. But some people know all I got to do is bite. All I got to do is bark. All I got to do is trigger her. And I can trigger her by saying, you just like your mama, or you just like your, or just say something that I know is going to hurt her. You ain't got nowhere to go. Hey man, you always like, you ain't got nowhere to go with, whatever the case may be. And it triggers her. Once it triggers her, it puts her in that manipulative state where I can say anything and control her again.
Wow.
You know what's crazy, because that does have an effect when somebody directly communicates to you and is very strong. But I think we can't miss out, like you talked about, the social media aspect, because now these spells are amplified 100. Through social media. So you can literally have the same level of impact like this from posting one of those subliminal messages.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You post a subliminal message and you ain't responding to their message.
Oh my God. Mind control.
100%.
Man, let me tell y'all something. What we're going to do right now, which I'm very excited about, is we're about to open up this initiation hotline right now. So we are going to go ahead and put this link here in the chat. So when we're gonna put that link in the chat, you guys are gonna click it, you'll go backstage, turn your camera on, and I want today, because we talking, look, some of y'all souls probably tied in a damn knot today. Right now, anybody that thinks they might be struggling with this, I want y'all to come up here, and if you got some general questions as well, I'm gonna let you go up here. Look, Pastor is in the building today, so we're going to come up here, and I'm going to let y'all ask some questions, all right?
It ain't just the ladies either, because some of these guys, these women got y'all tied down.
Yes, sir.
Tied down, sacrificing everything for somebody who has no good intent for what you got going on. So please call in, and is it cool if I read some of these super chats?
Man, please, get the super chats in. Send them in, guys. We're going to make sure we get your thoughts read on the show.
Look, shout out to Nora Jean, who hit me up on IG. She said, Ryan, you calling me Nora, you get my name wrong. It ain't Nora Jean, it's Nora Jean. So I just want to give a shout out to Nora Jean. I put some respect in your name. Shout out to Shamira 8. I love it, Shamira, loving the activity. She says, I'm enjoying this exposure of discerning if you a witch or a warlock in a relationship. This conversation is a divine appointment of accountability on time and a call to a character shift. Shout out to all the people that's working on their character, guys. I'm one of those. Yes, sir. Shout out to Janelle. She actually threw in a question. Is manifestation also witchcraft?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
manifestation is a form of witchcraft because you're manifesting what's your will and not what's God's will or God's word. So 100%. Whenever you try to manifest something through the universe that's not specifically a promise from God, it is a form of witchcraft.
But see, now here's the thing, because now here's my issue with that, because I feel like me personally, I like to be in control of my life to the mm-hmm. best of my abilities. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I might be, you know, for example, we have this platform. Mm-hmm. I have a vision for it.
Yes, sir.
We working for it every single day.
Yes, sir.
Is not my vision and my planning, mm-hmm. my writing down, my working,
yeah.
my building, is that not all manifestation? Or what's the difference between yeah. my planning and me envisioning my life? I don't yeah. know if this is, I feel like this is what God put in my heart. I'm motivated. I'm excited about it every single day.
Yeah.
But how do I know that this is not a version of manifestation? What's the difference?
Well, number one, witches don't have a monopoly on the word manifestation. All right. So when I say manifestation, I'm more so talking specifically about their process of manifestation, not manifestation as a whole. The scripture says we believe those things that be not as though they were. That's faith. Now, we don't believe them just so that they can remain invisible. The goal is to believe them until they become visible or until they manifest. The difference is I'm not trying to, again, make them manifest for my own will or for my own desire. Like I was about to ask you, how did you get the idea for this podcast? Were you sitting around saying, how can I become rich? How can I become famous? How can a lot of people know my name? Mm. Right? If you were, then yeah, you're right. It's based on your own ambition. It's birthed from your own ambition. And since it's birthed from your own ambition, unless you give it to God, it's going to take your ambition, your work, it's going to take your sweat, your money in order to get it done. Right. But if you sitting around saying, man, I just want to please God, I want to do something significant, I really want to be relevant. And all of a sudden the idea drops and you feel a burden on the idea, a wind on the idea, inspiration on the idea, then most likely God gave you the idea. Now, I will say this. If God gave you the idea, you got to still make sure that you use it for God. And we talked about this last time I was here. Mm. This level of visibility that you guys have, this level of influence, you're going to get a lot of witches. You're going to get a lot of women. You're going to get a lot of women, right? Now, if you see that and say, I can use it for that, then you've just sold the purpose, the intent. You've just sold over what God gave you or what you got. This whole platform, you've sold it over. Right. But if you say, you know what? I can use this to do good. I can help people. I can inspire people. Then 100%, it can be a godly idea. But all of us know that how you get sponsors and how you get money and like, how did you get that? You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't something that you were just like, I got it. Man, God brought those things. You know what I mean? It was favor and it was connection and it was relationships. Right. So those are the benefits of doing something that God has told you to do. If God tells you to do it, then he's with you, right? If it's his vision, he's going to fund it. But if it's not his vision, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow in order to get it done. And you might be able to do it, right? You may be healthy enough. You may be strong enough to get it done. But God is never pleased with you doing something in your own strength and not inviting him into it so that he can get the glory from it.
Because I will use the word manifesting regularly. So right. I want to make sure I understand exactly what it is, because I want to make sure I'm using words properly, because you're saying the difference between manifesting and I guess me bringing my vision to life
yeah.
is whether or not my heart is in a certain place. Yeah. Is that really what it is?
Okay. So witches manifest usually by visualization and by confession, right? So they're going to think about it. Oh, I see it. I see it. I see it. And they're going to keep saying, I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. As believers, as a Christian, I'm a Christian. As a Christian, we don't manifest like that. See, the way a witch manifests, it takes no change of character. It doesn't take integrity. All you got to do is visualize it, want it, and say it. But the scripture, if I want anything from God, or if I want anything that God has promised me, I have to become like him to get it.
Oh.
So if God say, I want you to have a phenomenal marriage, you're going to have a phenomenal marriage. I can't get that with a lack of integrity. See, whatever you want, you can get however you want to get it.
So the witch might say, you know what? I want to keep this man. I'm going to just go ahead and make him this red spaghetti.
You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
And that's how I'm going to keep the man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't hear about the spaghetti? Is it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, should we, what I mean, you're talking about. Hey, no, people in the chat know about the spaghetti.
If people know about the red spaghetti, just say yes in the chat. If you know about the red spaghetti.
I don't know which fluid goes in the red spaghetti, but I'm assuming it's the red one.
It's, you, Bastard, you talked about the sacred fluids.
No,
you
they
don't
do
want to
it. They
down.
Do it.
That's
they
like
do
an
it.
ancient. Ancient remedy.
No, I mean, I've heard about stuff like this in like Louisiana, among like Creoles, yeah. And you know, stuff like that. Like, I've heard of this before where, like, if they want to keep a man, they cast in a spell on a man or something like that, they'll put certain stuff in their food 100%.
And let me tell y'all, for the people that's just coming in, because there's somebody in the chat just said, "What did I just walk into?" Hilarious.
Oh, yes,
y'all, listen, tonight it's relational witchcraft. We got past in here breaking it down. It's, first of all, if you just jumped in now, you got to start this over after the show from the very top, because we breaking down all levels of potions, all levels of manipulation, relational warfare. I mean, we touching the gambit. So this here is a must watch, a game changer, a mindset changer. And I want to bring some people up. We are live in the initiation hotline. So please join the link in the chat. Let's drop the link in the chat again. Come backstage because we're about to have you talk to Pastor.
And we got some people coming up, so please be patient. I want to get to this last super chat real quick. Shout out to the lovely Janet. She's actually one of my favorites. I like to keep up with what she got going on. She says, "How can we discern if others have placed curses over our lives? And what can we do to nullify them?" Listen, y'all be getting me so mixed up.
We need this Rita Rainbow sound.
Also, how can we identify and dismantle any potential witchcraft that may have been imposed on us?
Oh, that's so good. All right. So, number one, how can we discern if curses have been placed over our life? Usually it's because you're trying to do something that you can't do, right? Like, you're trying to go forward with your life, but you're still being reminded of them. You're trying to go into a new relationship, but you're still seeing visions of them, having dreams of them. You're still kind of feeling those same feelings. That's how you know you're most likely dealing with a curse, because there's a word, there's a phrase, there's a thought that you cannot get rid of that is detrimental to your purpose, your destiny, and whatever you're trying to accomplish. So that's usually how you can tell if there's been a curse placed on you. And one of the ways that you do discern it is by that conflict, you know, just the lack of freedom, the lack of mobility and agility. And one of the ways that you deal with it is by exposing it, calling it out, and then praying to God, saying, "Lord, I want you to break this, take this from me," releasing yourself from all guilt, shame, and connection and responsibility to that person is one of the ways that you nullify any curse or any spell that's been placed over you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.